Welcome to the podtech.net InfoTalk podcast. We're here at one of the hot startups in Silicon Valley, Blue Lane, Alwin Sequeira.
Thank you, John.
You're the VP of engineering, involved in deep in the product and talking with customers. Talk a little bit about the area that your products are in and this perfect storm that you and I were just talking about before the podcast.
Yeah, let me give you a quick backdrop on and the context into which we have our products coming into. A couple of very, very big mega trends to highlight. First of all, the emergence of the enterprise web. Enterprises are clearly flattening out. There's an explosion of connected endpoints with global 24/7 access requirements. At the same time, for a variety of reasons, primarily online business imperatives, things like seamless supply chains, disintermediation, back office integration, loosely coupled affiliation of best of breed partners, such global competitors is what's driving different enterprises to come together, connect into each other, partner with each other. And consequently, more and more important critical data is moving onto the web. More and more important transactions are moving onto the web. Just a quick note as to why this is happening. It's over the last 5-10 years, the internet web technologies have made this all available. A set of open protocols, all HTML, XML, SSL, HTTP session-based protocols, and more recently the Web Services 2.0 framework, is what's making it relatively easier, and coupled with open sourcing and offshoring, it's making it relatively easy for the old guard applications to start moving very quickly on to the internet. So there is clearly an unprecedented rate of change and movement from brick and mortar to click and mortar kind of operations.
What do you mean by click and mortar? You mean like extranets and people partnering, using the web as a vehicle for business interaction?
Absolutely. So instead of a physical silo-like past, we now have more and more of the operations available via web clicks. You can pretty much activate a new service, activate a new partnership through a click of a button on the web.
So Blue Lane, you guys make security software and products, right?
Yep.
And your background is engineering. What's your background in engineering?
My background, 22 plus years in the data communications space. I was actually involved with the internet back in the early 80s with the CSNet, which is a precursor to the internet, and we are working on the old internet backbone.
You've seen the evolution. You've been involved in IT when IT was glasshouse days, client server LAN hits the scene, internet working.
Yes.
And you mentioned open source now. How's that different?
I can tell you one of my first jobs out of school 20 years ago was at HP, and trying to move HP onto the TCP/IP network, we had to take a look at manuals. It would take us anywhere from 2, 4, 6 weeks to even get started on a project. I can tell you, roll back forward to the current last week, 2 weeks ago, if I need to do something 1 o'clock at night, all I need to do, Google it on the web, get some sample programs on the web. If I'm stuck, I can access an IM someone on the web in a matter of minutes. You're talking of in the last 22 years, a huge productivity gain.
Huge.
Open source has caused this all to happen. Open source, always on. This is a 24/7, unprecedented. I could be sitting at night and be able to complete recreate an entire subsystem, which would have taken me months, if not years, 20 years ago.
So talk about that. I mean, IT, we've been kind of in a recession, people say, in the IT world, and IT managers are now waking up and realizing they got to be agile. Open source is a huge force. You know, all the big Oracle and HP and Sun are all doing open source. Microsoft's doing open source now.
Yep.
So, I mean, this is a huge initiative from a cost perspective, but this completely opens the door for huge problems.
Absolutely, and that's why we fundamentally believe people who can see this, all the preconditions are in place for a perfect storm. Let me explain. The very advantages of the open source, open protocols, standardized protocols, the very advantages that led to the megatrends I talked about at the top, those are exactly what makes it visible to the bad guys. Visibility cuts both ways. So the presence of open source applications, the presence of open source frameworks, the emergence of open protocols makes it relatively straightforward. I mean, Windows, desktops, clients are pretty much prevalent everywhere, and these are all riding now increasingly on these open protocols, accessing increasingly important data in the data centers, which means the bad guys have claim to exploit a bunch of vulnerabilities. Why vulnerabilities? Why are there vulnerabilities in software? If you think about it, the pace of change is so rapid. The time to test is just not quite there. And the nature of software, unlike hardware, is fraught with risk. Risk manifests itself in the form of vulnerabilities, which can in turn be exploited. So if you think about it, you have this whole widely connected internet. The underbelly of the internet is based on these open protocols, which have a bunch of vulnerabilities. In fact, latest estimates show something like 300 new vulnerabilities being discovered per month. What these vulnerabilities for the lay person mean is that these are shortcomings in the code that can be exploited. A bad guy can exploit the vulnerability, inject some piece of code that can, when it reaches the host, take over the host and do all kinds of bad stuff. Examples are they could bring down the server, causing denial of service. They could in turn go and mine important data and send that back to the bad guys, the hackers. They could also in turn create a remote shell back to the hackers, at which point the hackers have complete control of the data center. So you can see these vulnerabilities are in place and manifest. At the same time, you have a community that is increasingly productive at their ability to create and exploit.
What you're saying obviously is, you know, a lot of the people know at the high level the trends are the flattening, there's more endpoints, the internet's obviously pervasive, it's a standard, it's going to Web 2.0, Internet 2.0, all that stuff. But what you're really saying is in IT, the real problem is that they weren't ready for this. That what they were fighting, the old battles, you know, proprietary kind of backbones and then some choke points they got to fortify. Now with an open environment where the code evolves, where the bad guys have insights into the base core kernels.
Yes.
They're already coming in and IT's not prepared for it. So you're saying you're looking at this new model in security in terms of exploits, more exploits.
Yeah. Let me... I would not be as harsh on IT. IT has taken a lot of steps over the last few years. Again, taken steps based on the technologies that have been made available to them.
Well, they have to. That's their job. They got to do their best.
That's their job. While they're trying to keep the networks up and running, while they're trying to make their applications always available, at the same time, security is an imperative. And some of the early security devices like firewalls at the perimeter, these were devices, effectively you can think of them as, instead of you having thousands of gates into the enterprise, you cut down the number of gates to a few gates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, bad content can pass through.
Yeah.
Even if you have one gate.
Yeah. Someone can sneak in the camp.
Someone can sneak in and masquerading as a good guy and get to the content, as we talked about before. So IT is doing that. From firewalls, there are intrusion detection devices. There are intrusion protection devices. There's a variety of things. But all of them fall short. To a certain extent, the software vendors themselves have released patches. And these patches, in turn, actually do mitigate, do provide relief from the vulnerability. However, the issue there is one of, it's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. You finish painting, you got to go back and start all over again because the frequency is high, the criticality is high, the volume is high. This is one of those exercises you play.
So talk about the patch thing because you guys have an interesting solution here. But in the IT world, patch management, if you will, for lack of a better word, or dealing with vulnerabilities is a constant thing about updating the filters, updating the patch. I mean, there's standard practices. I mean, companies have alerts, you know, and people are on notice with, you know, their BlackBerries, you know.
Yeah.
As soon as there's a patch available, it's installed, tested. It's not trivial these days to manage patches, right?
It is not. In fact, if you're an IT guy in charge of the data center, first of all, you have a myriad of operating systems and apps that you've got to worry about. You've got your Microsoft environment, your servers running a variety of Microsoft operating systems. You have IIS and SQL, MS SQL and Exchange, and that Microsoft stack. Or you might have what we call the LAMP stack, the Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP, Perl kind of a stack, and that has its own set of vulnerabilities. In the case of the Microsoft world, what Microsoft has done is release security patches on a monthly basis via their Microsoft security advisories. Likewise, in the Oracle world, your databases, Oracle releases their critical patch updates once a quarter. In the open source world, it's very ad hoc. It's you could have 10 vulnerabilities and patches for the vulnerabilities released on a daily basis. It's very ad hoc. So if you're the IT guy in charge of patching for your organization, you pretty much have to have a team that has to react.
Yeah, but bad guys don't wait for the month to sneak in and manage their exploits. A bad guy's coming in real time. I mean, it's a real time environment. So patch management. You don't schedule patches, do you? You get the patch, you install it, right?
You get the patch, you install. Typically, the bad guys...
And it breaks 10 systems. I mean, if I'm a vendor, I come out with a patch or something, right?
Yeah.
I don't think about how this breaks Exchange or another app, right? And patches have to be tested, don't they?
That is one of the onuses on the IT people. When they do get the patch from the vendor, while the bad guys could exploit it right away, on the other hand, IT guys, even with the availability of the patch, they got to go through the test cycles. They got to ensure that their business apps are not at risk. They got to ensure no business disruption. And the always-on available notion precludes their ability to actually deploy the patch. Having said that, some of them do take risk one way or the other. Some of them decide to wait and hopefully no hacker is going to get at them. Or on the other hand, patch quickly and hope that nothing happens by the time the patch is installed and rebooted.
So the perfect storm, I mean, and there's a lot of issues and there's costs involved and there's all this is huge problems and for IT and they got to manage all this. But the web is flat, there's explosion of endpoints, people are dialing, and there's remote access. Everyone knows that's a big security problem to begin with. Extranets, you're dealing with partners and always kind of an integration of resources, and then the new open source. Yeah. Is that what, those are the three kind of areas?
Those are the three kind of areas, open source, including open protocols, standardized protocols, and global connectivity and reach. Are what all come together. And the stakes are higher on today's internet. There's so much more pertinent data riding on the internet today.
All right, so what's the solution to all this?
Well,
is it you guys have a solution here? And
I believe we do. I believe we do. We were trying to reconcile getting the advantages of applying the patch, because the vendor patch, in fact, is the best way to provide vulnerability relief. How can you do that?
Are you saying the patch model's broken?
The patch model is broken from a timing standpoint. The patch is the right answer. However, the timeliness of the application of the patch is what's broken. Many times people cannot apply in time for a variety of reasons. That part is broken. So to give you a clue about our solution, what if you could get the advantages of the application of the patch without having to worry about the operational aspects and the timeliness?
So basically installing the patch without installing it.
Installing the patch without installing it. Installing the patch without touching the server, what we call the patch proxy.
Patch proxy. Are you saying that you have a solution that solves the IT's problems of rapid patch management, real-time patch management, whatever you want to call it, patch proxy, so that they don't have to be present with uploading a patch, testing the implications right away?
Absolutely. So instead of the IT manager, the patch manager, having to worry about being right there as the patch gets released by a vendor and having to then, in a reactive fashion, quickly go onto the server, test the impact of the patch, instead of worrying about all that, leave that to someone like BlueLane, who with their patch proxy takes care of all of those test implications, takes care of actually applying the patch in the network without having to touch the network stream. Immediate vulnerability relief, and immediate patching relief.
So we have an answer to the perfect storm at BlueLane.com. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a second podcast where you're going to go in detail at BlueLane.com. You'll see there's a podcast there. Podcast number two, the solution to the perfect storm. Thanks for the podcast.
Thanks, Jeff.